And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One of the great joys of my life has been the privilege of sharing with so many people knowledge of the love of God and helping them to understand what they must do in order to become the recipients of the bounty of God's love. There are few thrills as thrilling as to take a person with whom I've been studying to the church building, to the baptistry, and to baptize them into Christ. Have all of the people whom I've taught and baptized remained faithful to the Lord? Not likely. Yet I believe that many of them have. Sharing the good news of the gospel of Christ is certainly an aspect of discipleship which needs emphasis. I remember so well and have remembered for so long the words of an old hymn which say, Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? It does, my friends, make a great deal of difference what you believe about evangelism. And it matters because the lost are really lost. Are we convinced, you and I, of the fate of people who are out of Christ? Are we convinced of the lostness of people who have not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? May I ask you to read along with me several passages of Scripture, the first of which is in Ephesians chapter 1, and at verse 3. In the introduction to this great letter, the apostle writes this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You've heard me talk about this verse before, many of you have. If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, and then that leads to the question, then how many are out of Christ? And the answer is none. So what is the fate of that person who is not in Christ? He is lost. He has no spiritual blessings. None. Or in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 1 through 3, And you have he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If a person is not in Christ, he is a child of wrath. If a person is not in Christ, he is dead as far as God is concerned. At chapter 2 and verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. The first part of the verse says, there is a time when people are without Christ. And in that situation, these people who are outside of Christ have no hope, no eternal. How serious is the condition of people who are out of Christ? Could it be any more serious than this to be no hope people? And then I invite you to turn in your books, your Bibles, to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. An eternity in hell. I don't know whether or not you nor I can conceive that. Yet we must try, because what the Bible says is those people who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into this lake of fire to spend eternity there. That, my friends, ought to be reason enough to compel you and me to have a great interest in evangelism. There are people whom we know, people whom we love, people in whom we have a great interest, who are destined for the faith that is described in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and we may not be doing anything to avert their fate. It matters what you believe about evangelism, because Jesus died to redeem lost souls. And my question to you and me is, should we keep it a secret? In the book of Titus, in chapter 2 of this little letter bearing the name of an evangelist, at verse 14, the Bible says, of Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, that he might redeem us. Precious friends, this word redeem is one of the wonderful words of the New Testament. Perhaps not the most wonderful word, perhaps not the most beautiful word, yet in that which it conveys, is it not a truly remarkable word? And I've turned already in my Bible to the first chapter of Ephesians again to read there with you verse 7, in whom, speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redeemed is only through the blood of Christ. This wonderful word, this wonderful thought or concept of redemption, possible only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, it is the shed blood of Jesus, not the spilled blood. Those words are so different and convey such different ideas. The word shed, there is something that is deliberate. There is a choice that he makes. Spilled is an accident. And the blood of Jesus Christ was not an accident, my friends. It was according to the predestination, the foreordination of God, that he shed his blood to redeem people like you and me. In 1 Peter at chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, for as much as you know that ye, and he's writing to Christian people, is he not? For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The reason I have included these two verses in this part of my thoughts this morning is to say to you and me that we have enjoyed the blessing of both the experience and knowledge of the blood of Jesus Christ. We know what it means. We have received the blessing of that blood. But my question comes back, should we keep it a secret from others? Is this something that we have enjoyed so very much, something that we really need to hold in kind of a closed way? Or is it not something that needs to be shared with the world? It matters, my friends, what you believe about evangelism. Because what you believe and whether or not you tell other people may well mean that they will never know what might have been until it is too late for them to know it. But if we're unconcerned, if it doesn't matter to us what we believe about evangelism, then there are folks. I'll tell you what, their folks are never going to know what blessings they might have enjoyed in Christ. And one of these days they're going to stand before the judgment bar of Jesus Christ and they're going to hear those incredible words, "Depart from me, I never knew you," and they're going to wonder why. There's another old song. It has in it the line, "You never mentioned him to me. You met me day by day. You knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me." It's always been God's choice to entrust the message of salvation to human beings, to human messengers. Well, I recognize that angels on several occasions did announce the gospel, the good news, a Savior is born. But ultimately, the great message was entrusted not to heavenly visitors. It was entrusted to folks like us. Over in 2 Corinthians is this verse that I read to myself from time to time to remind myself. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." But, here it comes. "But we have this treasure." What treasure? The treasure of the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Could God have done this another way? Could he have decided to convey the message another way? I suppose that he could have, but he didn't. God decided to entrust the message to human beings like you and me, earthen vessels. And my question is this morning, have we put a cork in the bottle? Are we effectively, maybe not deliberately, maybe we haven't set out to do this, but have we effectively put a cork in the bottle so that this treasure remains in the earthen vessel? I know that many of us have a natural hesitation. You see, we've been taught, most of us, from early years, that there are a couple things you just don't talk about with most folks, and they are religion and politics. Religion is a dangerous subject. So we just choose not to talk about it. And maybe we have a fear in our concern, a fear of rejection, a fear of some unpleasantness, perhaps, and here may be the real issue, we have a fear that a relationship we enjoy might be harmed if we take a very open attitude toward the spiritual well-being of another person. I don't want to talk about it with my friend because I'm afraid that he or she would no longer want to be friends with me. And I know that that's a concern that some of us have. Or maybe we have a concern about our own inability to handle the Word of God. What would I say? How do you go about this, talking to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so mentally, perhaps we've just said, look, I know it needs to be done, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to entrust this work to someone with more experience, more knowledge than I have. Could I ask you to open your Bibles again to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? I know all the things I've just said are very real concerns, but I want you to read with me verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Now that's from the book of Psalms. That's a statement from the 116th Psalm, verse 10. But I want you to look at the rest of the verse. It's not just a quotation of a verse from Psalms. For now it is made very personal. We also believe and therefore speak. Precious friends, my question for all of us this morning is this. Knowing that we are believers, should we not also speak? And I know that most of us are very busy with our families and our responsibilities. I know that we have needs that must be met by our family members, and so we get busy with our jobs and our professions and the house and those kinds of things. They've got to be done. I understand all that. But can we not find the time to do a host of other things we really enjoy doing? And if we can, then how are we going to be able to excuse ourselves from doing something that really needs to be done to benefit a friend or a neighbor or a relative? Time is so precious, I recognize that it is. And yet, if I've got time to make it out to Minute Maid Park or to the golf course or on a fishing trip or whatever, and those are all good things, and I wouldn't take away from them for a moment. And I enjoy many of those things as much as the next person does, and yet, if we have the time for those things, can't we squeeze in just a little bit of time to talk to a friend or a neighbor about the gospel of Jesus Christ? So we say to ourselves, okay, I understand that all that is true. How does one go about it? Well, I would suggest four things, and they're fairly generic, but I'd suggest them nevertheless. First of all, I'd suggest that we preface our initiative with prayer. Prayer for wisdom. Prayer for the ability to see the opportunity. Prayer that the heart of this person with whom I want to share the Word of God will be open to what is being shared. You know, as I read the various letters written by the Apostle Paul, I recognize that in almost all of them, if not in all of them, there is prayer on the Apostle's part for those people who are going to be the recipients of the message. And thinking about that, I think, isn't that an appropriate way for any one of us, as we begin to think in terms of sharing the message of the Word of God, that we pray before we launch out into the sharing of the gospel? although it is personal with me, I need to share with you the fact that I never come to this pulpit without having prayed just before my coming. I am not that pompous. I'm not that self-assured. I'm not that able to deal with insecurities and butterflies. And so I ask God for the help that He can help, the wisdom that He can give, for me to be focused, for me to have a clear mind. But I also ask Him that those to whom I preach will have open hearts. I suggest, secondly, that we need to be more specific in identifying the person or persons with whom we want to study. As long as we remain fairly generic about this, we're not going to get much past the feeling that we ought to be doing something, but I really don't know what it is I ought to be doing. Unless we begin to put names with our responsibility. There is in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 a marvelous little illustration of what it is to which I'm referring right now. Could I begin to read at verse 40? And I want you to listen how individuals immediately began to put names with responsibility. Beginning at John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Did you hear in the reading how that individuals who themselves had heard the glorious gospel message, who knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, did you hear how they went and found others? A brother, a friend. Got to get specific about this, neighbors, if we're going to ever have a great interest and involvement in evangelism. In our being specific, there must be not just a concern that we have checked off that next responsibility, but that we have met the needs of individuals. Real needs. I suggest a third point, that we need to learn how to be aware of and alert to opportunities. In my notes, I wrote, what we really need here is a mindset for evangelism. A mindset. And it is with a mindset for evangelism that we then begin to see the opportunities for what they are and to meet those opportunities. To be able to turn the opportunity to the spiritual need of the moment. One of the most beautiful illustrations of this is in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. You'll recognize it as the incident of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Beginning at verse 7, There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? And then the interview goes on to verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water thirsteth again, referring to the water in the well. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Folks, you see how Jesus turned the opportunity to a spiritual need of the moment to address in just the most natural kind of way this conversation with her, which develops into, well, it develops into preaching and teaching to all the people of the city. And it all started with a woman who just came out to draw water from a well. You've got to learn how to turn opportunities into conversations. And I still suggest that it's something that happens when we have a mindset for evangelism. But most of us perhaps do not think of ourselves as evangelists. We think of Mexican people whom we support in Mexico. They're evangelists. Or we think perhaps of the preachers here or other places. They're evangelists. Let's hire it done. We don't have a mindset for evangelism. The fourth suggestion, just ask someone to study the Bible with you. Just ask. You'd be amazed at how many people there are who will give you an affirmative answer if they are asked. You know, I'm getting toward being an old man. Getting toward. And I never cease to be amazed at how responsive people are when I just say to them, Would you like to study the Bible with me? And you know, sometimes I'm so surprised when they say yes that I'm a little unprepared for the next thing that I must do, and that is to suggest a specific time for us to study together. But you see, you ask the question not believing. And so you don't have things worked out in your mind about we can study at this time or that time. I'm free. When are you free? And so we leave things kind of like, well, we need to get together sometime and study the Bible. No. You ask people to study the Bible with you, and when they say yes, as almost invariably they will, then you say, Can we study tomorrow night at 7:30? Would you turn in your Bibles to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans? Listen as I read verses 14 and 15. Listen to the questions that are asked. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Series of questions. But now I want you to look at this question with me right in the middle of verse 14. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And I want you to put yourself into the answer of that question. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? I have an answer. I am the answer to their question. For I can share with them the good news of Him of whom they have not previously heard, but of whom they are going to hear, because I am the answer to the question. Sweet friends, it matters what you believe about evangelism. There is someone who has this very question, and you are the answer to the question. It matters what you believe about evangelism. Tom's going to lead us now in a song, which really is all about the subject of which we've been speaking this morning. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And that's the good news we have to share with people. That because Jesus died at Calvary and shed His blood, we this morning are able to preach the good news, the gospel, that He died, was buried, and raised again the third day. And that you and I can be the recipients of the sacrifice He offered, the blood He shed, and be redeemed people. And part of our message is to share with people how it is they obtain the benefits of that blood. Burdens are lifted at Calvary for people who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of their sins, confess the name of Jesus Christ, and are buried with Christ in baptism. What some have called the gospel plan of salvation. And there is a plan. God made a plan before the foundation of the earth. That plan involved the death of Jesus Christ, the atoning offering of His sacrifice, but it also involved our responding to the plan. To God's initiative. Are there those in the assembly this morning whose sins need to be lifted because of Calvary? If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, precious friend, you are lost. Other folks may not want to tell you that. And it's not something I enjoy telling you. But the fact is, if you're not in Christ, you're lost. And the way into Christ is revealed in the New Testament, and it is the only way into Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're lost. You are baptized into Him. Believing, penitent, confessing faith, yes, but to be baptized into Him. If you've never been baptized into Christ, I urge you this morning, as we sing the song, step into the aisle, come to the front, and let us know that you want to be baptized into Christ today. And your sins will be lifted because of Calvary. We can help you in any way. Come now as we stand together as we sing.